to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we are in Acts 13. Let's listen in to all 52 verses of Acts chapter 13.
Acts 13. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said,
"Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them."
Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said,
"You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time."
Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying,
"Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it."
So Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said,
"Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us their children by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Therefore, he says also in another psalm, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you.
As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying,
"It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'"
And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Here in chapter 13, we are reintroduced to Saul. You might remember Saul from chapter 9, when he had his Damascus Road experience. And so here in chapter 13, we see Barnabas and Saul, and people were fasting and praying, and the church at Antioch set them apart. And it says here in verse 2, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" And what did the Holy Spirit call Saul to do? Well, you go back to Acts chapter 9 on his Damascus Road experience, where in verse 15 it says, "He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." In this same chapter, we see the name change from Saul to Paul in verse 9. "But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit." And so what was that about? Well, Paul is the Roman name. Saul was the Hebrew name. And so because now he is mainly working in Gentile territory, he really goes by Paul rather than Saul for most of the rest of the book of Acts. So I refer back to my journal in 1992 to this passage when I wrote, "Paul and Barnabas head out to spread the gospel. The message is first offered to the Jews at Antioch at their synagogues. People were receiving, but the religious leaders were not, as we saw at the end of this chapter. In verse 46, the word says, "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you." And, of course, he's talking to the Jews then. And then it says, "Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." In 2007, after reading Acts 13, I wrote, quoting verse 4, "They were being sent out by the Holy Spirit." It's probably pretty important to remember that we don't do anything without moving in the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have any success, we need to have the blessing, the direction, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So I continued to write then in my journal. Paul and Barnabas started in a very populated culture centers to have the greatest impact. And then, in this chapter, Paul recaps Jewish history, then introduces Jesus. He quotes scripture to verify his points. They share with those who are willing to listen, the Jews first and then the Gentiles. Though they were not very well received, they were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And as the chapter closes, I concluded my journal entry that year by writing, "Spreading the gospel was not easy then or now." Spreading the gospel is easier if we know the word of God. Think about what Paul was doing here as he recapped Jewish history. He's quoting from the book they were very familiar with. He quotes Psalms, he quotes Habakkuk, and he quotes Isaiah. So if you're going to defend the scriptures today, or you're going to defend Christianity, can you quote the scriptures? How much time are you spending in daily Bible reading or listening to these podcasts? I encourage you to develop a daily habit in God's Word. Father, we give you thanks for Paul as he begins to move out from just sharing the gospel with the Jews on into the Gentile world, and that he is moved to do so because of your calling, your purpose in his life. Help us today to think about what you have called us to do, and that we might be as obedient as Paul was to do that which you've asked us to do, even when it's uncomfortable. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.